Giordano, Vice President and Counsel for International Affairs with the National Pork Producers Council. Thank you for participating in this teleconference on the Trans-Pacific Partnership in Japan. We're waiting for Senator Chuck Grassley to join us. As most of you know, Senator Grassley is a Republican who represents Iowa, the number one pork producing state in the country and the number two overall agriculture state. Senator Grassley, along with 17 of his Senate colleagues, recently sent a letter to USTR urging it to insist that Japan negotiate on all its agricultural products and to eliminate tariffs on these products. We in U.S. agriculture are very appreciative of his leadership and of the members who signed on to this letter. Senator Grassley will speak when he joins the conference. Right now, you'll hear from the industry participants. You will hear first from me. As I said, I'm Nick Giordano, Vice President and Counsel for International Affairs with NPPC. Then you will hear from Dave Solomonson, who is Senior Director of Congressional Relations for the American Farm Bureau Federation. You will next hear from Bob McCann, Producer President of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. He will be followed by David Hovermell, the Executive Vice President for Government Relations at the National Oilseeds Processors Association. And then you will hear from Walter Powell, the immediate past president of the Oregon Wheat Growers League and chairman of U.S. Wheat Associates, National Associates of Wheat Growers Joint International Trade Policy Committee. I'll start. Japan joined the TPP talks last year, knowing full well that the U.S. expected the TPP to be a high-standard 21st-century agreement. NPPC, along with most farm organizations, strongly supported Japan's entry into the talks on that basis. We believe then, and continue to believe today, that a truly high-standard 21st-century agreement will have to include market access commitments by all of its participants, at least as ambitious as those achieved in our prior FTAs. Japan, however, has been insisting that it cannot accept free trade in product categories that it considers sensitive. It has listed five such categories, including pork and beef as one category. The others are dairy, sugar, wheat and barley, and rice and starch. These sectors account for hundreds of products which are classified in hundreds of tariff categories. Never, ever has the United States permitted a trading partner to shield so many tariff lines from going to zero. Indeed, the number of tariff lines which Japan seeks to exempt from tariff elimination exceeds by almost three times the total number of tariff lines exempted in all 17 U.S. FTAs combined, which have been implemented this century. The heart of an FTA is tariff elimination. If the U.S. caves to Japan's demands, TPP will not be high standard or even a 20th century agreement. It will constitute a radical departure from past U.S. trade agreements. If Japan is allowed an unprecedented number of exemptions, it is not difficult to envision all of the TPP participants pulling back sensitive products. But even if it is possible to prevent the TPP negotiations from unraveling and a TPP-like deal is struck, granting unprecedented exemptions to Japan will have far-reaching consequences. As the TPP expands to include other countries in the Asia-Pacific region, we can expect other countries, such as China, to make similar demands. Moreover, a weak agreement with Japan will have significant negative implications for our ability to reach an acceptable agreement with the EU in the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership negotiations. Thus, this is an issue that goes beyond Japan and which will impact billions in future agricultural exports and hundreds of thousands of agricultural jobs. But this issue has implications which go beyond U.S. trade policy, U.S. exports, and U.S. jobs. There is no greater global security issue than the price of food. Governments rise and fall based on the price of food. Any agricultural economist will tell you that exempting food from trade deals will put upward pressure on global food prices. The UN projects that almost 2.5 billion people will be added to the world's population by the year 2050. Exempting food and agriculture from trade agreements is not a wise idea. It undermines global security. To date, the Obama administration and our outstanding team of trade negotiators have held firm, refusing to acquiesce to Japanese demands. We implore them to continue to push for tariff elimination. The cost of dropping out of TPP is too high for Japan, and the people of Japan are ready for agriculture reform. The sectors which Japan insists on protecting comprise a tiny share of the Japanese economy. These sectors represent just 0.5% of GDP, and half of that is rice. The writing is on the wall. Korea opened its economy to the U.S. and the EU by eliminating tariffs on virtually all food and agriculture products, and all products. Vietnam, Malaysia, and others are ready to do the same. Japan may expect special treatment, but it is not entitled to special treatment. Pork producers have a long-standing tradition of supporting trade agreements, including all recent U.S. FTAs. These agreements have enabled us to dramatically increase exports, which have more than doubled to over $6 billion in recent years. In short, we are the poster child for expanded trade. But this is a landscape-changing legacy issue that will impact our producers for the next 25 years. It is impossible to rationalize how we could support an outcome that would establish a terrible precedent and rob our industry of billions of sales. This concludes my statement. Has Senator Grassley joined the call?
Senator Grassley just had to go vote. So we'll have to join him back in about 6 minutes.
Okay, that's fine. We will continue. He's been introduced in absentia. We appreciate his participation. And we will move to our second industry speaker, Dave Solomonson, the Senior Director of Congressional Relations for the American Farm Bureau Federation.
Okay, thank you, Nick. I'd like to add on to what Nick has been very complete and comprehensive in introducing our concerns about Japan and their stance in TPP. You know, the addition of Japan when they decided to fully participate in the TPP talks is very important for making the agreement more encompassing of our goals for improved agricultural trade. When Japan joined the talks, we believe that it would help fuel all TPP participants' interest in the negotiation, bring in other Asia-Pacific nations as they recognize the opportunities to improve agricultural trade relations with the U.S. and with the other TPP participating countries. Now we are very concerned about the message it sends. If Japan uses these negotiations to maintain high tariffs and other barriers on its agricultural products. We have urged, along with others in the ag community, we have urged USTR to hold the line in the TPP negotiations and work for tariff elimination. And we view this as crucial in having these negotiations be useful for U.S. agriculture and for useful for all the participants in the TPP talks. And so I'll stop there and leave it open for the next speaker.
Our next speaker is Bob McCann, producer president of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association.
Thank you, Nick. I'd just like to begin by saying that Japan is our top export market for beef, and we look forward to meeting the growing demand for beef in Japan, having sold $1.4 billion of U.S. beef in Japan in 2013 was a big year for us. But we feel that Japan does not deserve special treatment, and it must be treated the same as all the other TPP countries involved. If the United States is going to open its market to competition from other TPP countries, then so should Japan. NCBA, National Cattlemen's Beef Association, will support a TPP agreement with Japan as long as the terms are based on full market access and sound science. Anything else is not worth the effort and will set a bad precedent for trade for all commodities in all sectors of the economy. We feel that allowing a cave out would seriously affect the integrity of this trade pact and certainly of any other trade pact such as TTIP in the future. So we're at a very serious juncture here in negotiations. So at NCBA, we just feel that it's paramount that we stand hard with the tariff elimination part of this process. And that concludes my comments. Thank you very much.
Okay, we'll move on to our next industry speaker then, David Hovermell, who is the Executive Vice President for Government Relations at the National Oilseed Processors Association.
Nick, thank you very much, and thank you to our previous colleagues who spoke on this issue. I'm going to reiterate and reinforce some of the same comments that you've heard, but first, I'd like to commend Senator Grassley and Bennett and their 15 colleagues for their leadership in seeking assurance that the U.S. will not close out the Trans-Pacific Partnership negotiations without an acceptable, comprehensive agreement with Japan to eliminate tariff and non-tariff barriers in agriculture. This is extremely important. We very much appreciate the letter that they sent. Improved market access to TPP countries for oilseeds and oilseed products is the utmost importance. Equally important is the improved market access for our customers, some of which are on the phone, and that's our meat and poultry partners and their products, especially pork, chicken, and beef exports. NOPA is extremely concerned that Japan has signaled that it intends to take sensitive agricultural products off the negotiating table. You know, we at NOPA have had a long-standing policy of supporting and working for comprehensive trade agreements, including the high standard, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. However, we are concerned, and we believe that there must be no product or sector exemptions or exclusions for either agriculture or industry. If Japan is allowed to claim exemptions for its sensitive agricultural products, other TPP countries will inevitably demand the right to do the same, including the United States. This will lead to the unraveling of a TPP agreement as other parties pull their offers on sensitive products or their concessions on sensitive issues off the table. And ultimately, this will mean that the TPP agreement will not realize what we all want, which is a commercially meaningful market access package. Japan must be willing to eliminate its tariffs on sensitive products. As mentioned earlier, Japan knew this when it was asked to be admitted to the TPP negotiations. The outcome of TPP sets an important precedent for future trade agreements, as Nick mentioned earlier, in particular the Transatlantic Trade Investment Partnership, which is now underway between the U.S. and European Union. We feel that TPP must include comprehensive liberalization in the agriculture sector by all participating countries. If Japan continues to insist on unreasonable protections for its agricultural products, it will be difficult for NOPA to support a TPP agreement that does not include comprehensive trade liberalization for all agricultural sectors. We very much appreciate the leadership of our team at USTR, and we encourage them to continue to hold the line. That concludes my comments. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. Well, then let's move to our final industry speaker, and that is Walter Powell, the immediate past president of the Oregon Wheat Growers League and chairman of the U.S. Wheat Associates National Association of Wheat Growers Joint International Trade Policy Committee. Walter?
Thank you all for having me. U.S. wheat farmers grow six different classes of wheat, and Japan is typically the largest buyer of soft white wheat grown in the Northwest. There's a personal face to this story for the Oregon producer. In 1949, a trade delegation traveled to Japan to begin collaboration with the Japanese people on the expansion of wheat sales from Northwest producers to the Japanese consumer. That delegation included some of our grandfathers. A variety of marketing and education activities followed, perhaps the most famous being the school lunch program and Kitchen on Wheels, traveling through rural Japan to promote wheat products to Japanese consumers from 1956 to 1960. Grandsons now walk in the same steps as today's Oregon producer travels to Japan on trade visits. Many of our rail cars and barges move through facilities on the Lower Columbia owned by our Japanese partners. This is a business relationship, a partnership, and a friendship spanning generations. Last year, U.S. wheat producers welcomed Japan's entrance into the Trans-Pacific Partnership negotiations. The opportunities are significant for all nations involved. As a nation joins in these deliberations, it is understood and expected that all nations are accepting of the high standards involved in this agreement. One of those standards is comprehensive tariff elimination. We look forward to a comprehensive agreement that will boost growth throughout the Pacific Basin, growth that will provide additional markets for agricultural producers in all of the nations involved. To this point, removal of all barriers has proven to be difficult for our Japanese friends, particularly in the areas of wheat and other sensitive agricultural products. Such exclusions are unacceptable as they do not live up to the goals of the comprehensive TPP and do not provide new market opportunities for producers of all of the nations involved. Exclusion would set a dangerous precedent for future negotiations, both as TPP expands to other countries like China and as the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership negotiations move forward. We would hope that our Japanese partners could come to the table and negotiate on the removal of all barriers to a comprehensive agreement. If this is not the time, we would then urge the administration to conclude the TPP without Japan, working with Japan to bring them into the agreement at a later date. We would agree with the other speakers that it is better to have a clean, comprehensive agreement today than work to remove flaws at some point in the future. U.S. Wheat thanks Senator Grassley, Bennett, and other colleagues for leading on this issue and ensuring that a comprehensive outcome on agriculture is not left out of this agreement. That would conclude our remarks.
Thank you, Walter. Has Senator Grassley joined the call?
Not yet, but he's expected to any second.
Okay, why don't we open it up for questions from the media, and then if the operator would please break in as soon as Senator Grassley joins, we'll go to Senator Grassley for his comments, and then questions.
Grassley's coming on right now.
Okay, perfect. Senator Grassley, thank you so much for your time, for your leadership on trade, broadly speaking, and specifically for your leadership on this letter urging USTR to eliminate tariffs and to have a comprehensive outcome on agriculture with Japan. Really appreciate your leadership and the 17 other members who signed on to that letter. The floor is yours, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. And I was, we were both hoping to have Senator Bennett on here with me. He's the guy that initiated the letter with me in a bipartisan way, because most trade issues are bipartisan, and particularly when it comes to agricultural issues, I think. So let me say thank you and hi, everyone. And I thank all of you for participating. I heard some of it in between votes here. The Trans-Pacific Partnership has great potential, I think, for creating jobs in America, and it has worldwide implications as well. All votes rise, as Kennedy said, when you have these sort of situations. The 12 countries involved in the negotiations are committed to promoting trade liberalization in the Asia-Pacific region. Now, what I've heard from all of you, so I can say, unfortunately, we got one country, Japan, seems to believe that they're entitled to keep five sacred agriculture products off the table. Prior to the Singapore ministerial in February, Senator Bennett and I sent the letter that's already been referred to Ambassador Froman, that was signed by 16 of our colleagues, stressing our concerns regarding Japanese protectionist attitudes within the TPP. And as I noted to Ambassador Froman when he talked to me on the phone this morning, I was in my office, he was in his office at 8 o'clock this morning, I stressed to him the importance of the ambassador of Japan, the prime minister of Japan wanted to be in TPP. Everything was going to be on the table. We got to hold our feet to the fire. And also to remember that agriculture tends to be the locomotive that brings along manufacturing and services when an agreement's before the Senate. So agriculture being satisfied is very, very important to get the entire agreement through the Congress. If Japan is allowed to keep high tariffs on these five products through these negotiations, then this sends a very strong message to other countries involved that they can protect their own products as well. Japan is an economically developed nation, not some third world country. The third largest country in the world can't make protectionist moves like that without having a ripple effect. And you can then bet if they got their way, if Japan got their way, that every other country will suddenly have a set of sacred products that can't be touched in a final agreement. Additionally, the TPP will set a precedent for the free trade agreement that we have started working on with the EU. Free trade is an economic advantage for the participating countries. We've been left on the sidelines in the past while other countries reach agreements. That's not good for economic freedom, free enterprise, or expanding the world economic pie. But if a final TPP agreement ever makes it to the Senate floor, I'm going to have to review the whole agreement to decide my vote. And, of course, if Japan, the third largest economy in the world, is allowed to keep high tariffs on five agriculture products, specifically beef and pork, I'm going to have a tough time getting excited to vote for a final TPP agreement. I don't know whether you expected me to be on for questions or not, but if there are questions, I'll try to answer.
Yes, the floor is now open for the media to ask questions of Senator Grassley, and once that concludes, we'll open the floor for questions of the industry panelists.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question at this time, please press star, then the one key on your touch-tone telephone. If your question has been answered or you wish to remove yourself from the queue, please press the pound key. One moment for our first question. Our first question comes from the line of Victoria Guida from Inside U.S. Trade. Your line is now open.
Hello, Senator. I was just wondering, one of the industry participants who spoke earlier mentioned that if Japan doesn't lower its tariffs on these agricultural products, that it should be excluded from the agreement and maybe included at a later time. My question is, do you think that they should do this? Do you think that USTR should do this? And if it does, is the agreement still meaningful for the agricultural industry without Japan?
Yes, I think the agreement would be valuable without Japan. It's going to be many more times valuable with Japan. And at this point, I don't want to send any signal whatsoever from me that we shouldn't do our darndest to keep this agreement as broadly as we can, including as many countries and all the products we can, and would want to wait until our negotiators get done and come to the conclusion, because they're there every day, and I'm here in the Senate not dealing with TPP every minute, like Froman would be, as an example. And so I'm going to keep my hopes open and not come to the conclusion that is the basis for your question until a long time from now. And besides, let me suggest to you something that maybe at this point time, I don't know whether we should even be thinking about that question, because we're not going to get any of these nations to sign unless we get trade promotion authority through the Congress and Senate. And right now, with Reid taking a position and Pelosi taking a position that shouldn't come up, it's a very important thing to a free trader president we have. President Obama wants TPA. He has to spend some political capital to get TPA through. And if he doesn't do that, then everything else we're talking in regard to Japan or anybody else is kind of moot, except in the meantime, our negotiators have to keep negotiating. But there won't be any signing by anybody until TPA is passed.
Thank you, sir.
Our next question comes from the line of Ellen Ferguson from Congressional Quarterly. Your line is now open.
Thank you. I appreciate the call. I'm just trying to figure out who is your audience for this call, because you're not drawing really firm lines. You're not saying at this point we would oppose the PAC. You're sending signals. So who is your audience?
Our audience is anybody you report to and anybody the radio stations report to.
The general public?
Listen, when you're in a participatory democracy, you do everything you can to bring pressure upon decision makers. That's something I deal with every day, hour by hour. And that's everything that the president has to deal with. That's everything his negotiators have to agree with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also a way of the entire American public, through either negotiators or through elected representatives like myself or through grassroots organizations, to send a signal to Abe of Japan and his negotiators, and to are you being intellectually honest when you say that Japan wants in these talks, we'll put everything on the table? Well, then put your negotiations where your mouth is.
Our next question comes from the line of Chris Clayton from DTN. Your line is now open.
Thank you. I appreciate the call. Can I just get a little more basic understanding of what are some of the tariffs that the products that you guys are facing, and also the ag products that Japan specifically has listed as off the table for negotiation?
Let me suggest to you that you better ask those questions of the other participants. You can ask me questions about the policy issues, but don't get me into the weeds of what the pork producers or the beef producers or this organization or that organization is expecting.
Well, Senator, do you know some of the products that Japan has specifically listed as that they are looking to protect?
We may have lost Senator Grassley. This is Nick Giordano with the pork producers. Maybe I can respond to that question. Japan is, on the one hand, they're asking for an exclusion, which means the products I noted. So they're saying there are five sensitive products. It's really eight, because they're counting pork and beef as one product, and they're counting rice and starch as one product. So it's really eight products. And they want all these products, which have myriad tariff lines, excluded. Now, then when you go below the surface, it's, well, if they're not all excluded, and they're in the agreement, then what would the Japanese want? And they don't want to eliminate tariffs on any of these agreements. So if we give the Japanese the benefit of the doubt, and we say, okay, so, you know, all these dairy products, all these rice products, all these pork products, beef products, and so on, let's assume they're in the negotiation, but the Japanese are refusing to eliminate tariffs. Well, what does that mean? And as I said, it's unprecedented. We never, if you add up the 17, the exemptions from tariff elimination in the 17 FTAs implemented this century, Japan's request exceeds by almost three times the combined amount of exemptions from zero in all 17 of those agreements. So this is a very significant request that covers a lot of trade.
Our next question comes from the line of Matthew Weaver from Capital Press. Your line is now open.
Thank you. Do we have any idea how firm Japan is on this position? Is this a negotiating tactic and they could change their mind down the road, or is this pretty solid? And what do we have a timeline also for the TPP negotiations? Is there a point where we're hoping to reach the agreement or expecting to reach the agreement?
This is Nick Giordano. I think we have to keep in mind that Japan's only been in the negotiations a very short time. I believe they came in November, so they haven't had a lot of time. And you know, I believe that they'll do what Korea has done, which is open agriculture. But it's a difficult decision, and we understand that there are you know, quite a few members in Prime Minister Abe's party who were dug in on this. Again, I don't view this as insurmountable. And I think when you stand back and look at what they're asking for, it's too much. It's something the U.S. has never done. So I applaud our trade officials for holding firm. And I do believe that we continue to push, Japan will relent. Vietnam and Malaysia and others are ready to go to zero. Japan should do the same thing.
Our next question comes from the line of Len Bracken from Bloomberg BNA. Your line is now open.
Thank you. I guess my question would be, is there a tariff rate quota that would be acceptable? Is there a threshold there on the tariff rate quotas for any of these products that you know, if it's too low, is there a general way to describe that? And also, could you comment if you think in the negotiating dynamics, if there's an effort to make Japan go first and then Canada and conceivably even the United States with some sort of accommodation, whatever that might be, with these sensitive products?
This is Nick Giordano. I'll start and then pass it around to my colleagues on the call. I'm unequivocally not. We're not going to accept a TRQ from Japan. We're in uncharted territory here. I can tell you that in every single FTA we've ever had, pork has gone to zero. And again, if you look at the magnitude of what Japan is trying to do here, and all the products and all the tariff lines and the value of trade they're trying to exempt from going to zero, it's a massive exemption. And I'll tell you, it opens the door to exempting agriculture from future trade agreements, which we're not going to tolerate. So, no, we're not going to accept TRQs. Absolutely, unequivocally not.
Thank you. Anyone else care to comment on that? And as with regard to this, the negotiating dynamic of and an effort to make Japan sort of go first, if there is going to be any kind of accommodation, you know, particularly, you know, Canada is also a sensitive product.
This is Bob McCann. I guess I would just say that, you know, if Japan is going to be the one of the countries that is insisting on some sort of a carve-out, you know, that it kind of puts them in the driver's seat if they want to, you know, put out some offer I don't think that any offer is going to be accepted, as Nick said earlier, unless it's something that goes to zero. But we haven't heard of any offers, and we can't deal with any hypotheticals. So that's kind of where everyone is at as far as my knowledge. So I think that's why you hear a lot of people saying that maybe Japan should at least put out something there, because as far as we know right now, they've just said no to any tariff reductions or in the negotiations.
If I can address the second part of your question, I think you're right. I think there are a number of outstanding issues in the negotiation, but I think market access with Japan is probably the linchpin. And I think the question that needs to be asked in Tokyo is, are we really serious about TPP? I mean, when Japan came in, they were serious, but they're backtracking. And they're asking the United States to do something which is unprecedented and which we in agriculture can't live with. So, I think at this point, Japan is holding up the entire TPP negotiation. And I think Tokyo's got a fish or cut bait. Are you going to join a high-standard 21st century agreement? If not, then bow out and come back in the second tranche of countries when you're ready.
Thank you very much.
And we have a follow-up question from Victoria Guida from Inside Trade, or Inside U.S. Trade. Your line is now open.
Hi, yes. I was just wondering, you all have mentioned that you want tariffs to go to zero and you won't accept anything less. But in terms of a phase-out, I mean, in order to have incentive, would you accept a 15, 20-year phase-out on the tariffs?
Well, I think this is Nick Giordano. I think it's instructive to look at the Korea deal. And obviously, they're not the exact same two countries, but Korea completely opened its market to the United States and the European Union. And, there was, in the case of the U.S. FTA, the unfortunate exemption of rice, but other than that, virtually all tariff lines went to zero. They weren't asking for the sort of exemptions that the Japanese are asking for, which are completely unprecedented and which would be a radical departure from past U.S. trade agreements. So, again, I think it's incumbent on Tokyo. I mean, are they serious about this negotiation? If they are, they need to go to zero. They need to look at what Korea's done. They need to look at what Vietnam and Malaysia are willing to do, and we need to get on with it here.
And, I mean, do you have any indication, you said earlier that Japan hadn't been in the negotiations very long and that you were confident that ultimately they will do what Korea is willing to do. I mean, what are you basing that off of?
They're asking for something that's unattainable. I can't in my wildest dreams imagine the U.S. exempting all these tariff lines from going to zero. I mean, it doesn't just open the door to exempting agriculture from future trade agreements, which, by the way, the EU would love to do in the TTIP. It opens the door to exempting lots of products that we make in the United States. I mean, if we can do this for Japan on agriculture, then don't you think other countries are going to add, you did this for them on ag, do this for us on, X, Y, and Z. It's a bad precedent. Tokyo's got to get off it. I do cut them slack because they've only been in it 4 months, and they're unquestionably, the prime minister is under pressure from members of his own party to protect these sectors, but what they're asking for is not attainable.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Steve Kay from the Cattle Wheat Buyers. Your line is now open.
Gentlemen, I have a question about, initially specifically about the pork and beef tariffs. beef, I understand, is still at 38.5%, and I'm wondering what pork is. And the second part of my question is, what would be the value, or what's the lost value because of those tariffs in relation to our exports, and what would be the added value if those tariffs were totally eliminated?
Well, from the beef point of view, you know, we exported $1.4 billion worth of beef last year to Japan. So if you just do the math at 38.5%, that was a lot of tariff money there. Going forward, I think if those tariffs are eliminated, it's a huge jump to the markets, the domestic markets here. And that's a huge improvement for American cattle producers in our markets. So, but we do have a good market there currently. It's just heavily tariffed.
This is Nick Giordano with the Pork Producers. Like our colleagues in the beef industry, we've got a very good market in Japan. Doing in recent years just shy of $2 billion in pork exports. We aren't terrified there. There was an exemption in the Uruguay round. So we have what's called a gate price, and we'd be on the phone all day if I explained it to you. But the bottom line, it's like a trigger price. And you have to sell at a relatively high, you have to sell pork at a relatively high price in Japan in order to sell it. And it significantly limits what we can sell there, and it obviously protects the domestic industry because it keeps prices high. So, you know, as we've had in all our other FTAs, we want all forms of protection abolished, you know, the gate price and all the bells and whistles that go with it. And, you know, we're selling a lot there now. We'll sell a lot more when the protection is eliminated. But moreover, as I think everybody in the call has said repeatedly, this is bigger than Japan. And, you know, this would be unprecedented in U.S. trade policy. And this really sets up agriculture for a dangerous future when it comes to trade. Now, we know that the EU did not want to include agriculture. There are problems there. When we look to expanding TPP, which clearly is going to happen, countries are lining up to come in. If the Japanese get their way here, we're going to have a precedent that's going to impact billions and billions of dollars. It's going to impact U.S. agriculture for 25 years going forward, which is why we're so adamantly opposed to special treatment for Japan.
Can I just ask a quick follow-up? Do you or anybody else on the call know what the total cost, annual cost of all the tariffs are on all 5 or 8 categories?
It would be very significant. I mean, look, we're Japan is the top export market for U.S. food and agriculture, and you know, the numbers for pork are very big when you talk about eliminating tariffs, and I'm not going to publicly disclose those numbers. When you look at all the products, it's very significant. So, yes, Japan in and of itself and getting tariffs eliminated is vitally important to U.S. agriculture, but beyond that, the precedent of not going to zero is a lethal one.
This is David Habermehl with the National Oilseed Processors Association. I don't have an answer on your question you just asked, but I would like to go back to your previous question. And, you know, you were talking about, well, what's the added value if the tariffs are eliminated?
Right.
As I mentioned in my comments earlier, one of our big issues and concerns is the market access. And our customers are the U.S. meat and poultry area. And you've heard beef and you've heard pork on what it means. We supply them in the protein side. That is a value added That's not only helping processors. You know, you have the whole value chain that benefits because we're moving more protein in the form of the meat in the belly and creating that opportunity to export that added value. That's why it's important to us.
Thank you. This concludes the news conference. We thank everybody.